Another story of a small airport faced with closure. This one has a happy ending. I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. We're here today to talk about the story of an airport that could have been out of existence by now, was scheduled for a referendum on the November 4th ballot this year, and thanks to a campaign by some dedicated locals and some help from the AOPA Airport Support Network, the population of Biddeford, Maine, voted by an 82% margin to keep the airport open. We're here to talk to Alan Liskers, who's an AOPA Airport Support Network volunteer, about how that process went. Alan, thanks for taking some time out for our listeners today.
Good morning, Paul. Pleasure to be here.
Let me start out by asking you about the airport itself. Is this one of these idyllic rural airports, or is it more urban? Or tell us a little bit about the history of the airport and who uses it today.
Well, it's a municipal airport. The population of Biddeford itself, which is a small city in southern Maine, is around 26,000. The airport's got a single north-south oriented runway, 3,000 feet. It was built in 1935 as part of a Works Project, Progress Administration project. And it was basically at the time was described as trying to get Biddeford hooked up with the rest of the country for commerce. Now, as we all remember, aviation was still pretty new back then. And, you know, names like Roscoe Turner, Steve Whitman, Glenn Curtis, even Amelia Earhart have passed into history. And frankly, the airport sort of carried on by itself all those years and never really grew from much from what it was when it was first built.
Well, now, airports like that, I have seen cases where people came to take them for granted, I mean, in the pilot community, and maybe didn't really think about the fact that there are people who would work to shut them down. This one, it looks like some NIMBYs got very active very early. How did it get to the point where there was a ballot measure that would spend $3.5 million to close the thing?
Well, you know, there aren't any simple stories that I've seen when it comes to airport closing. Usually it's, well, not usually, I won't talk about usual. In our case, as I said, the airport sort of muddled along all these years. It's got about 47 based aircraft. There are pilots from all the surrounding towns who fly out of there. But, you know, you made a good point. Airports themselves, I'm in my 50s, and I remember when I was a little kid being able to walk down the airport and sort of just hang around, and there's all kinds of activity. Well, we don't see as much, I think, in this day and age as we had, at least not in an airport Biddeford size. And, you know, with the advent of commercial jet travel especially, we see large airports usually being very large and small airports, at least in the eye of the general public, sort of just sitting there in the background doing its own thing. And it's my opinion that the Biddeford Airport, B-19er, suffered that as well. Because, as I say, for all these years, up until 18 months ago, people sort of just forgot about the fact there was an airport there, and they'd hear a light plane go over once in a while, and that was the end of that. You know, until, as I say, about a year ago, a series of events transpired which brought a couple of neighbors literally abutting the airport to raise a signature petition to close it.
You can't just do that. I mean, the airport has received, if I understand correctly, about $1.3 million in FAA grants over the years, and there was a cost associated with closing it of $3.5 million. Now, in a town of 26,000, that's a pretty big tab. How did it, do you think it got as far as it did?
Well, on its face, especially this year with our economy going straight down down into the tank, that $3 million price tag attached to close it, which appeared on the ballot measure itself, I think would have been enough to convince even an irrational voter that, geez, you know, we just don't have the money to close this, so let's keep it open. The issue, though, isn't really, at least what we found, isn't that the FAA is the big protector of the airport because the airport has grant assurances. We've seen a few examples in the not-too-distant past of airports, other airports, especially I'm thinking of California, who have had owed grant assurances to the FAA and either got them absolved through their congressman or raised funds to pay back the grant money, in which case the airport was redeveloped into some other use. So I think there's an unfortunate popular misconception among our pilot community that FAA is, in fact, our savior on this one, and I don't think it could be farther from the truth.
Wow, I had not, I have to admit, I was not aware of those situations, but I guess if you, you know, if you want an airport closed and you get a congressman who will work with you, that anything is possible. How did the relationship with the AOPA Airport Support Network get going? Was that already in existence at this point, or did you kind of jump into this when it became obvious there was a threat to the airport?
As some of our listeners know, the AOPA created the Airport Support Network, I think, in 1997. And up until that time, there were quite a few airports closing on an annual basis. And a lot of those airports were privately owned. The land, for whatever reason, was deemed a better use not being an airport. So the owners either died and the kids sold it off, or the owner said, I'm going to Florida, and stole it. So we had a lot of airports closing. Municipal airports, I think, historically have not been closed to such an extent, primarily because they've been buried in city budgets. They never really hurt the city economy. They certainly improved the economy. But for the public to try to understand how an airport impacts its local economy and to what extent, we found is a pretty tough nut to crack when trying to teach somebody, you know, a little bit of economics. In the case of Biddeford's airport, as I say, it went along fine until because of the requirements of safety zones, we had, you know, old growth trees that needed to come down, and as part of the airport's master plan, they were slated for removal, trees that were on the airport's property. But unfortunately, because there was clearly no airport zoning for B-19er, houses had been built over the intervening years right up to the airport property line. So when the airport manager let the contract to take some of the trees down, which again were on airport property, I think that was the catalyst for people coming up in arms, because they perceived the airport property as a public use, sort of like a city park, we'll say. I know the abutters had, we had one city councilman in that ward that abutted the airport who, in a council meeting one night, I was present to hear, was bragging that he'd go down and walk the middle of the runway on a moonlit night just to enjoy the view. So that'll give you a little bit of the flavor of what we were dealing with in trying to address the issue of airport safety, et cetera, et cetera. At any rate, when some of the trees came down, the neighbors became organized and gathered signatures to go on to close it. And it seemed their arguments were specious and personal. But, of course, anytime somebody threatens an interest, as we pilots have in an airport, it's got to be taken seriously.
My guest is Alan Liskars, who is the AOPA Airport Support Network volunteer for the Biddeford Municipal Airport in Maine. And we'll be back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Platt. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR-22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option, from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed, come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR-22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips, composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full-spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab-tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Platt, talking today with Alan Liskars, AOPA Airport Support Network volunteer for the Biddeford Municipal Airport in the state of Maine. An overwhelming number of Biddeford residents voted on November 4th to keep the airport open, in the face of a referendum by NIMBYs who wanted it closed. Alan, you guys put together quite a campaign on this. You apparently rejuvenated the local pilot community. The Friends of Biddeford, I don't know if that had existed beforehand, but it certainly was a factor in running the campaign. And then AOPA also kicked in some resources. How big a campaign did this take to get the result you had on November 4th?
Up until, I'd say probably this past January, there was no such thing as Friends of Biddeford Airport. what we had down there were pilots that basically knew each other. Most of them were from the community or surrounding communities. And there was always an informality about keeping pace with, you know, what the neighbors were saying, how the master plan was being run, et cetera, et cetera. When the threat, there was a threat realized that seemed real, there was a consensus among the pilots that some formal organization ought to be started to try to understand the issue and certainly to combat it. And basically, early this year, Friends of Biddeford Airport was formed by the pilots. Realizing that the airport is a serious part of our country's infrastructure, period, you know, we decided that we needed and wanted to have other concerned citizens of the community join, so that it, FOBA didn't have the appearance or was in fact just a pilot-sponsored organization to protect its own self-interest. So we, asked concerned members of the community to join, and we had some members join. We had the support, vocal support of at least one out of seven city councilors in the city. And we just banded together and, tried to figure out some kind of a campaign that would educate the rest of the citizens of Biddeford to motivate them to show support for the airport. The best thing we could do on such short notice would be to put together and host an open house, which we did, which was the first open house that airport enjoyed since 1935. So it turned out to be a pretty big deal. We had a couple of thousand people come down from Biddeford and the surrounding area. We had standard things. It wasn't an air show per se because we didn't have any aerobatics or flybys. But Coast Guard sent one of their Black Hawks up from Cape Cod. We had a friend of ours up here in Laconia, New Hampshire, come over with his airplane. We had airplanes, biplane rides, helicopter rides, food. The standard fare that you'd expect out of a simple open house at a small airport. I think the fact that Biddeford had never seen anything like this, in their own backyard, created a serious amount of excitement, which is really what we were hoping for. Because as I say, up until that time, the airport sort of sat out in the back 40, and there were seriously folks in Biddeford who didn't even know they had an airport, which I found stunning. But then again, I'm a pilot, and I ought to know where the airport is. Somebody who lives downtown and doesn't fly a general aircraft plane would really have no reason to know. At any rate, we hosted the open house. It was a great success. We were able to donate, I think the number was $2,000, to Angel Flight Northeast. And I think most of the community knows what Angel Flight does, what a hell of a fine job they do for sick folks getting to where they need to be for treatment. We were able to raise throughout the spring and summer, basically from donations from concerned people, about, $2,000, maybe $3,000 for a campaign that we knew would have to come off this fall. Just to backtrack a little bit,
sure.
In the January area, I recognized that this signature business for the referendum was a potential big problem in terms of closing the airport. Through my contacts at the Airport Support Network, Bill Dunn, who's the vice president for airport advocacy, began monitoring what was going on. We were in close contact all spring and summer. It was clear that even though this the opposition to the airport was a local affair, it was clear that most of the voters really didn't care or didn't know one way or the other as to how they should vote. So basically, AOPA sponsored an awareness campaign, which included, in the few weeks before the election, a couple of TV commercials, some print advertising, a direct mailer to the registered voters, basically the type of campaign, of educational campaign, that I don't think that FOBA could have mounted, neither for the amount of money, which I'm sure was spent on it, but also for the targeting of the education to the uninitiated voter. I don't know what AOP actually spent, but as I say, I'm sure it cost more than what we could have raised. And the professionalism of the campaign, the simple, clear messages that were able to be put across, I think, were paramount for this crushing defeat of the closure people.
Well, you know, and it has to be a tough time to get a message through, especially, you know, during political season. So good campaign materials would have been necessary. Is there going to be any lasting benefit going forward? Has the local GA pilot community learned anything from this in terms of maybe having an open house more often than once every 75 years?
Well, probably the largest or the biggest thing that happened to us in terms of being local pilots, either living, working, or simply flying out of that community is the need to be aware of what's going on. The absolute need to promote the airport, to the general public in the best way we can. That we remain concerned and motivated to do that is surely an understatement based on what we've just gone through. And I might add, I don't expect that the opposition will stop just because they get defeated. All of our communities across the land are facing an ongoing diminishing of local funding, and Biddeford is no different. Maine itself is one of the highest taxed nations in the country. So there's severe competition, especially at the local level, for whatever funds are available to keep programs running. The opposition is, I think, going to continue to grouse about the airport, complaining that it's a playground for the rich, that we need to spend our money in better places, that sort of thing. What we've got to do as Friends of Biddeford Airport, involving thinking concerned folks who aren't necessarily pilots, is to work to get the city to allow improvements to increase cash flow, to keep the airport safe, all the things that you'd normally associate with running a good profitable business. Insolvency at a little airport like Biddeford won't solve anything except to hasten its own demise. So we're aware of that. I don't know if there's much AOPA can do directly to help us in this next phase, but what I can honestly say is that the proponents of the airport, having gone through this, are now galvanized. So it's simply, like anything else, we've got to write down our objectives, devise a plan, and then execute it. And as long as we can keep folks interested in flying, I think that little airport will continue to survive and then thrive.
Well, Alan, I want to congratulate you on obviously a successful campaign. I think that there's always something we can learn whenever a small airport goes through this sort of thing. And thanks for taking some time out today, and go get them.
I'll leave you with this, Paul. If any of you guys and gals listening are pilots and you're not a member of AOPA, please join. It's $40 a year, and even though you might not read the magazine, your dues are going to go specifically to help other little airports that are going to get in trouble. Every airport in this country will be threatened in some way at some point or another. We as aviators are specialists, and we're outside of the common man's experience because of what we do. But if you want to keep your little airport, you've got to start public outreach now by hosting public breakfasts through your EAA chapter, the Young Eagles program, have an open house. But like all other things, to try to grab somebody's attention, the public has got to be entertained and informed, and that's what we can do for our little airport.
All right, Alan, well, thank you very much again, and have a great day.
Thanks, Paul.
My guest has been Alan Liskars, who's the AOPA Airport Support Network volunteer for the Biddeford Municipal Airport in the state of Maine. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.